Harry recognised the symptoms of one who has just had his memory modified. "A map of the campsite for you," Mr. Roberts said placidly to Mr. Weasley, "and your change."
"Thanks very much," said Mr. Weasley. The wizard in plus fours accompanied them toward the gate to the campsite. He looked exhausted. His chin was blue with stubble, and there were deep purple shadows under his eyes. Once out of earshot of Mr. Roberts, he muttered to Mr. Weasley,
"Been having a lot of trouble with him. Needs a memory charm 10 times a day to keep him happy. And Ludo Bagman's not helping. Trotting around, talking about bludgers and quaffles at the top of his voice. Not a worry about anti-muggle security. Blimey, I'll be glad when this is over. See you later, Arthur."
He disapparated.
"I thought Mr. Bagman was head of magical games and sports," said Ginny, looking surprised. "He should know better than to talk about bludgers near muggles, shouldn't he?"
"He should," said Mr. Weasley, smiling and leading them through the gates into the campsite. "But Ludo's always been a bit, well, lax about security. You couldn't wish for a more enthusiastic head of the sports department, though. He played Quidditch for England himself, you know, and he was the best beater the Wimborne Wasps ever had."
They trudged up the misty field between long rows of tents. Most looked almost ordinary. Their owners had clearly tried to make them as muggle-like as possible, but had slipped up by adding chimneys or bell pulls or weather vanes. However, here and there was a tent so obviously magical that Harry could hardly be surprised that Mr. Roberts was getting suspicious. Halfway up the field stood an extravagant confection of striped silk, like a miniature palace, with several live peacocks tethered at the entrance. A little farther on they passed a tent that had 3 floors and several turrets, and a short way beyond that was a tent that had a front garden attached, complete with bird bath, sundial and fountain.
"Always the same," said Mr. Weasley, smiling. "We can't resist showing off when we get together. Ah, here we are. Look, this is us."
They had reached the very edge of the wood at the top of the field, and here was an empty space with a small sign hammered into the ground that read, W-E-E-Z-L-Y.
"Couldn't have a better spot," said Mr. Weasley happily. "The field is just on the other side of the wood there. We're as close as we could be."
He hoisted his backpack from his shoulders.
"Right," he said excitedly. "No magic allowed. Strictly speaking, not when we're out in these numbers on Muggle land. We'll be putting these tents up by hand. Shouldn't be too difficult. Muggles do it all the time. Here, Harry, where do you reckon we should start?"
Harry had never been camping in his life. The Dursleys had never taken him on any kind of holiday, preferring to leave him with Mrs. Fig, an old neighbour. However, he and Hermione worked out where most of the poles and pegs should go, and though Mr. Weasley was more of a hindrance than a help, because he got thoroughly overexcited when it came to using the mallet, they finally managed to erect a pair of shabby 2-man tents. All of them stood back to admire their handiwork. Nobody looking at these tents would guess they belonged to wizards, Harry thought. But the trouble was that once Bill, Charlie, and Percy arrived, they would be a party of 10. Hermione seemed to have spotted this problem too. She gave Harry a quizzical look as Mr. Weasley dropped to his hands and knees and entered the first tent.
"We'll be a bit cramped," he called, "but I think we'll all squeeze in. Come and have a look."
Harry bent down, ducked under the tent flap, and felt his jaw drop. He had walked into what looked like an old-fashioned 3-room flat, complete with bathroom and kitchen. Oddly enough, it was furnished in exactly the same sort of style as Mrs. Fig's house. There were crocheted covers on the mismatched chairs, and a strong smell of cats.
"Well, it's not for long," said Mr. Weasley,
mopping his bald patch with a handkerchief and peering in at the 4 bunk beds that stood in the bedroom.
"I borrowed this from Perkins at the office. Doesn't camp much any more, poor fellow. He's got lumbago."
He picked up the dusty kettle and peered inside it.
"We'll need water."